Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kurt Hahn of S3 Productions, broadcasting on my second channel, Technical Storytelling with Heart. And today we're doing something really unique. I am doing my show interviewing Misha, and your last name?
Ordonez.
Of Derek Diary, a award-winning newspaper at the local high school. And she, in turn, is interviewing me because I happen to be a teacher in my other life who happens to be a veteran. So, we're doing it, and she's also going to put this in the school newspaper. So we're sort of an interview on an interview. So with that thought in mind, introduce yourself, Misha.
Hi. Well, like what he says, I'm from the Derek Diary.
Okay. And why are we doing this show? Why are we doing this?
Oh, because I'm here to interview you about your time in the military.
Okay. Fair enough. I might also like to add for just a minute, Ms. Laura Rios is here, who's the editor-in-chief and publisher and chief cook and bottle washer of Derek Diary.
Hello,
Laura,
good morning.
Say hello. And
good morning, everyone.
And kind of give us an idea of what's going on here real quick. Then I'll turn it over to Misha, and she can run the whole show.
Misha is our sub-reporter who is going to be working on an article that features the veterans on campus, and Mr. Hahn is one of her interviewees.
All right, so Misha, with that in mind, your network debut, you're now a radio journalist. Fire away.
So, Mr. Hahn, how long did you serve in the military?
28 years. 24 years, I'm sorry, 4 years active duty. I got out, and then 24 years reserve duty in the United States Navy.
In the United States Navy?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you... what was your duty in there?
I was what they call an operations specialist, which is basically a radar type. I started off running, think of video games before there were video games. We had a radar system that was tied to a computer system, and it was like air controllers. You'd see the radar picture underneath and with the symbols of aircraft on top. And it's like running an air. My job is to kind of keep the airplanes. My job is to go find them so we can shoot them down. So I started off doing that, and then when I got off my first ship, went reserves, I had to go back to the paper and pencil and the Stone Age way of doing things because I went to a minesweeper. And then from there I went to a frigate, and I was still doing it the old-fashioned way. Then I went back to a computer Navy and had to relearn everything again, but by this time I had made chiefs, and I was a supervisor. So I didn't. No, it was the ship types that changed. Plus, I was moving up in rank, and the higher you go in rank, the more supervisor duty you used to do. And then I went from there to a unit in San Diego where I was riding ships and training them. From there, I went to a unit in Long Beach who was fixing ships. And there, I wound up at Commander Naval Forces Korea, where I was going to Korea all the time and doing. Oh, God, they were all fun. They are all fun. It's kind of hard to go back because all the ships I've served on are now decommissioned and gone. Two of the units I served with are decommissioned and gone. And where was the most fun? They all had their good days and their bad days. Being on a ship was cool because ships go places. And going is a lot of fun. The longest time I was gone was 7 months. I'm sorry, 8 months. But you got to remember, I was 19 years old and young and stupid. And when you're on board ship, remember, this is all pre-internet, pre-email, a lot of reading. But you got to understand, I was working, you know, when you're working basically shift work around the clock, you're either eating, sleeping, or working.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot of you're either going on watch, coming off watch, eating, or sleeping. A lot of reading. Well, you're not always at sea, pulling in the different ports every couple of weeks. Either to take on groceries, fuel, or just to get everybody a chance to walk around a minute. You come back to land, and then it's all the maintenance work and all of that. I'd rather be out at sea doing all that kind of cool stuff. Anyway.
Yeah. So those were all your fond memories at that time?
Well, I won't say they're all fond memories. A lot of fond memories. There are some that I would just as soon disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I can't. It's like anything else. You
can't
know,
describe it because it was that.
Well, I can't describe a lot of them because this is under 18. And,
What was the
memory
in Korea?
Korea, I was, at the time, I was the senior enlisted man for the Commander Naval Forces Korea Reserve Group. So my job was managing people and making sure all my people were taken care of. First time I was there, I spent a week in there, the Korean equivalent to Mount Cheyenne, which is a real interesting experience. Here, go do this. Do what? Keep track of this. You're going to keep track of what? What am I doing? Answer any questions. I mean, literally, that was my briefing. Yeah. Nothing like getting yelled at by a five-star Korean admiral who's asking your questions and you're going. And then I spent another week at Pohang, or 2 weeks in Pohang, which was the Korean Special Forces camp. And that was kind of cool. And then my last time I was there, I was in Yongsan, which is in downtown Seoul, Korea. And that was just cool. That was just cool. I got a chance to go to the DMZ up between North and South Korea. That is a scary place. That's the only place I've ever been to. You have to actually sign a waiver saying, if you die here, it's your problem.
How are they taking this on Americans?
Well, you had the once an afternoon riot. Literally like clockwork. Who knows? I go back to Korea in a heartbeat. I love Korea. Korea was cool.
Out of all those memories, what was your proudest moment there?
Making the greatest thing that happened to me was making Chief Petty Officer, E7. I did that in June of 85. That's where you go becoming a senior enlisted, like becoming a gunny sergeant in the Marine or a sergeant in the Army. In the Navy, you're a unique entity unto yourself. And that was cool. And then I made E8, which is the next one higher. I never made Master Chief because I shot my mouth off way too many times and I was not a politically correct animal. But I had more power as a chief and a senior chief than most junior officers did. So that was the thing that I never regretted. Making Master Chief, yeah, oh well. When I was at CNFK, I had up to 115 guys working for me. And when I was on the Duncan, I was the senior guy in charge of the crew. I had about 100 working for me. It was cool. I mean, I really can't describe it other than that.
Why did you choose the Navy as a branch of service?
I guess see how much time I have left. True story. 1973, I just graduated high school. College was not for me. I wasn't going to go to college. I knew that. Everyone, his brother, knew that. High school was something I endured, not something I enjoyed. I had a counselor. True story. High school counselor called me into his office about this time, November, December of my senior year. He called me into his office. I remember, this is 1973. He said, you have two choices in your life. I go, what's that? Are you going to go to McDonald's and be surrounded by pig fat and fly hamburgers the rest of your life, or are you going to go to Vietnam and die? Now tell that to a 17-year-old senior. You have two choices, McDonald's or Vietnam and die. That's how much you call a win-win situation. Well, okay, McDonald's didn't sound all that entertaining. Okay, if I join the Army, I'm going to go to Vietnam and die. That doesn't sound too cool. If you go to the Marine Corps, you go to Vietnam and die in the mud. If you go in the Air Force, well, I'm obviously not smart enough to fly an airplane because I'm not right. If you go to the Air Force, you're going to go on a long concrete runway and die. By the time the Navy was running a commercial, join the Navy, see the world. Join the Navy, see the world. Let's think about this for a minute. join the Navy, see the world. I'm on a ship surrounded by miles and miles of water. Kind of hard for some guy to shoot me with a rifle when I'm surrounded by miles and miles of join the Navy. Death, death, death for Greece. Didn't take much of a genius to figure out that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
That is a true story. Yes, ma'am?
No, I'm right. Are you free too?
My mom is heartbroken. I will say this because every high school kid I've ever talked to, they think about joining the military, and the first thing mommy goes, you're going to die. Mommies are built that way. Mommies are built that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once she accepted the idea, then she was okay with it. My dad, he was just as happy I was doing something.
Support you no matter what.
Yeah, my mom was brokenhearted. I'll never forget graduating from boot camp. You got to remember, this is, 40-some-odd years ago? And we would parade down through San Diego boot camp. We all had our, obviously, rifles on my, on our shoulders there. And my mom going, my baby's the killer. I'm exaggerating, Mom, if you're listening. I'm exaggerating, Riley. Please forgive me. It's been 40 years ago. Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
Sorry.
This is my last question.
No problems.
This is my last question. It's like, if you have any life lessons you'd like to share with us.
I can say this. For a young person, you're not all going to college. Whoever told you that is lying to you. Not everybody in high school is going to college. That just isn't going to happen. For some people, I'm getting around to your story in a roundabout way. I didn't go to college until I was 22. And that was after I'd done 4 years in the Navy. At 22, I was ready to go to college. To go in the military now, because my son went in 2003, did his 6 years on the USS John Stennis with a nuclear electronics tech, the poster boy for military, got out of the Navy in 2009, is now married with children and lives in Texas. For a person now to get out of high school who has no clue what they want to do, I think the military is a great way to go. Because, quite honestly, I think there's a whole lot of high school kids that have no clue what's going on in this world, what's happening in this world, how the world works, what the world expects at all. And I'm not saying the military is going to fix that, but it gives them a whole sense of being away from mommy and daddy and being on your own, where you are responsible for yourself. And nobody else is. And I don't know if that's the greatest reflection about being in the service or not. For me, it was a lot of fun. It really was. There were some good times. There's good times and bad times no matter what you do. I've been all over the world, or at least in the Asian part of the world. I've traveled all over the place, and I never had to pay for it. That's even the better part. Do all this stuff. It's just so cool. Anything else?
No, but like when you say you went around the world, does that mean you also went to like my homeland, the Philippines?
I've been to the Philippines many times. Been out of Subic Bay Naval Base back when it was still active duty before they shut it down in 90 whatever it was. Been to Manila. I've been to Baguio. I think I've been to Cebu City. I'm not real sure. I know I've been to Baguio. Philippines is cool. Had a lot of fun there. Never ate so good in my entire life. Matter of fact, if I could find a decent Filipino restaurant in L.A. somewhere, I'd be there probably once a month. Yeah. Huh?
Filipino.
I'm not saying it didn't exist. I haven't found it yet. If I could find a decent Filipino food, I'd be there all the time. Been to the Philippines, Japan, Hong Kong, Korea, Singapore, Karachi, Pakistan, Kenya, Mauritius Island, Taiwan, Alaska, Hawaii, Mexico. Matter of fact, you went to Rodriguez Island, which is a rock out in the middle of bumfart nowhere, about 300 miles east of Mauritius. Trying to think. Yeah, it's a rock out in the middle of nowhere. It's the only
wow.
place I've ever been where they came down and said, you're going on Liberty. I am. Yeah, it's clothes on. You're leaving the ship. Like, I am. Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had to go on this island because it was some diplomatic tour that we were doing. Great story. Out in the middle of nowhere. Just rock out in the middle of nowhere. And they never had visitors before. I mean, Navy visit. And the natives made this really, really ripe a long time. And this is back when I called. And well, needless to say, a lot of the guys who went off in their whites came back with their purples.
Purples?
Yeah. They had their white uniforms on and all that plum wine just
splashed on
all over. A lot of drunken sailors coming back with their purples. No, I've been to a lot of places, even in the reserves. I've been to a lot of places. They flew me up to Alaska, and I rode the ship from Seattle to Adak, Alaska. And then I flew back 2 weeks later to Sasebo, Japan, and rode the ship over to Busan, Korea, and they flew me back and forth to Korea.
How hard is it to acquire your sea legs?
On the Chicago, which is my first ship, very simple. I got seasick my very first time ever going out to sea. On minesweepers, you puke with pride. You vomit with valor. Because it's like being on the deadliest catch. A whole new meaning of the word seasick. Yeah. Because you're like on a real small minesweeper out there in very heavy way. Yeah. And Dramamine would put you to sleep.
Get
used
water.
To rock and roll. It wasn't all bad, but when you get rough water, it would be,
vomiting.
Oh, yeah, a lot of vomit, a lot of puking.
You saw it?
Oh, I was right there in the middle of it.
And you just smelled it?
Oh, yeah, nothing worse than puking in an enclosed spot because it'll affect everybody. But going on to better and better things. it's a lot of fun to, my son was on the John Stennis big nuclear carrier. He never got sick because you don't get sick on minesweeps. I can only say I've seen it as a visitor on an aircraft carrier. It's really cool about the first dozen times. After that, it gets really old really quick. I did a week on the Abraham Lincoln, and we had to sleep about two decks below the flight deck. So all night long, you hear this boom, and then a little wire coming in. And then it would hook, and then it'd come back, and then boom.
Back and forth.
Yeah,
and forth.
All night long, and after a while, you just sort of tuned it out. Coolest thing was I did a week on the Peleliu, which is an amphibious march, and the Harriers come in, back when I was on ETG. And the Harriers, which are the hover jets, would come in, and they'd hover. I remember, you're on the bridge, you're actually looking down at these guys, and they'd hover, and they'll say,
whoa.
And that was cool to watch. Yeah, that was cool to watch. There are all kinds of stories you can tell. There are all kinds of sea stories.
Wow.
But anything else?
No, that's not it.
Okay. Anything else, Laura? Question?
Could you describe the boarding quarters?
Oh, berthing? You got to remember, this is back in the day where creature comforts was not that important. If you look at your classroom, which is 20 by 20 feet, we sleep 30 guys in here.
Oh.
Three high, and, three bunks high. Your head would be off in another area, but, yeah, you'd easily sleep 30 guys in here. You used to say creature comforts was Creature comforts was not real high on the priority list. Better and more modern, of course, things get upgraded. But, your mattress is, about 2 inches high? Your locker is, like a big coffin. It's 6.5 feet long by about 2 feet wide, and you sleep on top of it, and you open up, lift your mattress up, and there's all your worldly possessions.
Oh, wow.
Hey, it's better than dirt.
True.
It's better than mud.
True.
But again, you know, if that's what's stopping somebody from, you know, joining the military, you know, that's just a trivial thing.
What is Veterans Day
mean to you? The Veterans Day is, it means a lot to me personally because this country owes a lot to the people who've gone out there and fought for what this country stands for. With that being said, I don't look for anything from me. But if you think about it, less than 1% of the entire U.S. population has ever served in the military. Less than
1%. They don't want to risk their lives.
You got to remember, back in the late 60s, up until 1975, they had a draft. If you're 18, you are personally, I think those days are going to come back if we ever have another 9/11, which I think is coming.
Oh.
I do believe there'll be another 9/11 at some point in time. Now, can I prove this? No.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if that day comes, I think there'll be another draft. We went to an all-volunteer army, an all-voluntary military, late 70s, something like that. I'm one of the last that had a draft card way back in 73, 74. As a matter of fact, I turned 18, and 2 days later, my draft card came in the mail. I have no idea what that draft number was because that came on a Monday. I was in boot camp on Friday. Draft card, okay. I was going anyway. Well, I'm okay. Put it in my pocket. If you're a male now and you turn 18, you have to register for Selective Service. And if you don't, they will find you and remind you. They will find you, and my oldest son didn't do that. He had like 4 letters before he finally.
Oh, wow.
To me, it means a lot. Again, I don't look for anything for me, but I think it's wrong when people sit there and protest and gripe and complain about this, that, and the other thing, but they won't do anything to protect them. Or they want somebody else to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's sad. That is just...
What about the draft? So in this day and age, women can serve the military as opposed to back when the draft was first enacted. So how do you feel about that? Should they be included in the Selective Service?
That's your wisely.
I think women should have every opportunity to serve along with men, regardless. However, with that being said, and please don't take this as any kind of... You don't change the standards. I can remember being on working, having to lift 100-pound sacks of flour and moving them from point A to point B, and then a young lady carrying 20-pound bags of potato chips and told we're equal. Well, if I'm humping 100-pound sacks of flour, by God, she better be humping 100-pound sacks of flour, right? It's like saying I have to do 40 push-ups. Well, if I got to do 40 push-ups and
do the same thing,
I don't think there should be a set of standards for point A or for point B. Plus, you have a physical problem of men and women are theoretically different. I know people have a hard time believing that. But anytime you have very close quarters, got a problem. I know people deny that. Oh, no, that never happens. Well, yes, it does. I mean, I've been retired for 11 years, but I go back in my time, for example, if you're going to play what's good for the goose, it's got to be good for the gander. If you're going to yell at me then for doing something, you better yell at her for doing the same thing.
Mm.
I do believe that they should have every equal opportunity to do whatever, but you maintain the same standards. There are women fighter pilots. There's women on board ships, which is unheard of years ago. Can they get a job? Yes, they can. Quite well. If you're going to have it, you better have the same standards for everybody. I want to know if I'm on that battlefield, that little Susie can pick my butt up and carry me off if I need to be, right? And not going, you're too big. No, I want, yeah, if you're going to save my, sorry, but you better be, this is not a slam dunk on anybody.
Huh.
This is not a real world thing. You know, so please don't send me hate mail.
Please don't.
Please don't send me hate. Any other questions at all?
Done.
We got about 3 minutes left. Any other questions? I'm sorry, ladies. I was trying to look at my clock here to see how much time we had left. Any other questions?
I don't think so. I think you answered them
good.
Quite well.
Laura, any last questions? Okay. With that in mind, Laura, if anybody wanted to get a hold of Derek Diary, how would they do it?
You can email us at derekdiary@yahoo.com.
Okay. And with that, again, any last questions? I have one for you. How far do you plan on going in journalism?
Well, because I'm still into it. Well, I still am now.
Okay.
I mean, good opportunity. So maybe for a while.
Okay, cool. Again, Laura, any last questions? Okay, with that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, please don't send me hate mail. Remember, this is back, I'm an old man, this is back, way back when. With that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. My name is Kurt Hunt. I'm the CEO and founder of S3 Productions, broadcasting on my channel, Technical Storytelling with a Heart. If you need to get a hold of me, you can reach me at oscssw@juno.com. You can reach me through Facebook at facebook.com/S3Productions1, or you can reach me through Blog Talk Radio. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you all a happy Halloween and a wonderful day, and we're out.
That was neat.